You may be dismissed if you haven't already departed. Looks like we've still got a few here. Good. Galatians chapter 3 for the rest of you. Galatians chapter 3 tonight. Find that. We'll pray. We'll get going. Galatians chapter 3. Appreciate the good offertory tonight. Victoria's, I think that's her second. Is that your second offertory you've played? Wonderful. Good. Appreciate Kim working with our young folks, training them to play music. By the way, this is my little plug here. I hadn't planned on saying this, but we really work hard training our children with a lot of things. And we train them to do well in school, at least we try to. And we take a lot of time training them to play ball. I love ball. It's a good thing. But I tell you what, all of those things really will be short-lived. And if you teach your children how to sing, how to play an instrument, how to do something musically besides play the radio, then that's something God can use for their whole life. And I appreciate these young folks who are training themselves. And I know it's a great sacrifice for parents. Both of my daughters took piano lessons, and then Hannah moved on to violin, and then to cello. And every one of those lessons costs money. And I know it's a great investment, but it is an eternal investment in helping young people to learn to serve the Lord through music. We have men's basketball here Monday night, but I'll be honest with you, I've never won a man to Christ by playing ball against him. Yeah, it may be the opposite, unfortunately. Now, we do give the gospel, and we thank the Lord for that. One of the men was here this morning who came last Monday night to play basketball. But I'm for those things, and I think they're in their place. As preacher said this morning, they're good. But boy, you teach your children music, and that's something they can use for God for their whole life. Well, that's my plug. All right, good. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you that we can come together this morning and this evening and study your word, and pray that you would indeed open our hearts. Lord, this is a difficult topic to understand, but Lord, it is so crucial, and it has got such great application. And I pray that somehow you'd give me understanding, give me wisdom to say the things that ought to be said, and give us understanding hearts. And then, Lord, may we rejoice in the applications as we make those throughout the sermon, we pray. Bless our time now as we look at your word. In Jesus' name, amen. I suppose every believer goes through some times when they just need to hear from heaven. Have you ever been there? Things get a little dry in your Christian life, and you read the Bible faithfully, but it's just like, you know, you're just reading the Bible. It's just, I mean, just nothing happening. And I'll be honest with you, several weeks ago, I was kind of in that state, and I was really seeking the Lord. I just needed to hear from heaven. And so as I was reading that morning, I think it was a Thursday morning, I don't remember, reading through the book of Galatians in my Bible reading, God spoke to my heart about a great truth. Now, I'll be honest with you. It is not an easy truth to understand because it is mystical, it is spiritual. And I'm going to do my best to try to help you with that, which my best won't be great. But I tell you what, the outcome, the effects of this spiritual truth are amazing. And I hope that'll help you as we go along. And so as I was reading in Galatians chapter 3, here's the verse, or really two verses, that God grabbed my attention about. Galatians chapter 3, verse 26. And it says, "For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized," here's the two key words, "into Christ have put on Christ." We have been baptized, and by the way, this is a dry verse. This is not talking about baptismal regeneration. This is not water baptism. We are baptized into the body of Christ. We are baptized into Christ. We are placed in Christ at salvation. And really, that's going to be the first point to try to show you that from Scripture. And my first point is the explanation of being in Christ. And I've written down here, it probably should be my best human finite attempt to help you to understand this great truth. Because this is a very difficult truth, because it's not something you can see. But it is taught all throughout the New Testament. Over and over again, you will see passages that show us that when you get saved, you are placed in Christ. There is a human divine unity at salvation. And I tell you what, folks, as we'll see as we move along, it should affect every area of your life. So, number one tonight, the explanation of being in Christ. And I've got 3 points here. Number one, the passages that deal with this, and I've just given you one of them, Galatians 3 and verse 27 and 28. But let me give you a bunch more. Now, we're going to move through several passages. Get your fingers limbered up, okay? If you've got arthritis, get them going here, unless you have an iPad, and then you just push them and you'll be all right. But turn quickly to Ephesians chapter 2, and I want to show you 4 or 5 of these passages. Ephesians chapter 2. I could read them to you, but I think it helps us if we look at them also. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 4. For God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even as we were, notice, dead in our sins, hath quickened us to made alive with Christ, and hath raised us up together. Who is us in that passage? That is us and Christ. Raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Wow, what a passage. Look in verse 10 of the same chapter. For we are his workmanship, notice, created, what's the next 3 words? In Christ Jesus. Unto good works which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And verse 13, notice, but now, next 3 words, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Turn to chapter 5 and verse 30 of the same book, Ephesians 5:30. Ephesians 5:30, and it says, for we are members, think about this, folks, we are members of his body, of his flesh, of his bones. Wow. Look over in, I'll just read you 1 Corinthians 6:17. And it says, but he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. We are joined unto Christ. Wow, what a thought. Now, secondly, I want you to see the process. How does this happen? Okay? In 1 Corinthians 15:22, it says, for in Adam, as in Adam, all die. Okay? You were born in Adam. All right? He is your physical head, the head of all the race. We are born in Adam. He says, even so, in Christ, we shall all be made alive. How did you get in Adam? This is not a trick question. You were born. Very good. Thank you. Good. Sharp. Very good. A plus for you too. You are born into Adam. How do you get in Christ? You're born into Christ. You're born, not physically, but spiritually. Don't you love John chapter 3? Preacher mentioned that passage this morning. But a very religious man, a very wealthy man, a very outstanding man comes to the Lord. And the Lord sees his need immediately. And he asks a theological question. The Lord knows his heart. He said, hey, buddy, your greatest need is you've got to be born again. And folks, it is through the new birth that we are placed in the body of Christ. It is through faith in Christ. In fact, in Galatians chapter 3, that passage says, you are the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. Simply by faith. Isn't salvation amazing? I give a challenge. I mention every Monday night to our basketball guys, and most of them profess to be saved. But we had a lot of visitors, and when we have a lot of visitors, I try to give the gospel. And I just started thinking about what Christ did on the cross for us. And how that every one of my sins was placed on Jesus Christ. And every one of Daniel's sins was placed on Jesus Christ. And every one of Becca's sins was placed. And we could go around this whole room, all of our sins were placed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you imagine the holy, spotless, sinless Lamb of God suddenly took upon himself all of our sins. Over 7 billion people in the world today, and think of the billions before and the billions after. Every sin was placed on Jesus Christ. And not only that, but his own father turned his back on his only son. Can you imagine? Now, some of you have experienced that. I never have. But what a terrible thing to have your own father turn their back on you. And Jesus Christ, as he hung on the cross, he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And God had to turn his back on his own son because he had our sins on him. Wow, what a wonderful salvation. The blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. And folks, we are placed in Christ. The moment, and I didn't understand. I was saved as a child. I didn't understand that. I'm not quite sure I understand it now, to be honest with you. But the moment you were born again, the moment you placed your faith in Christ, you were placed in the body of Christ. And the Word of God uses another term, and we saw it in Galatians 3:27. And it says, for many of you as were baptized into Christ. Again, this is a dry verse. There's no water in this verse. But here's what happened. The moment you trusted Christ, the Spirit of God placed you in the body of Christ. Now, I know you're looking at me like, huh? Well, that's kind of how I've been feeling as I've been studying and thinking about this. There is a mystical, spiritual union. The word baptism, to be placed in. And we were placed in Christ. Turn back to Romans chapter 6. You hear this verse every time we have a baptismal service. And there's no doubt that the waters of baptism picture this spiritual baptism. But again, this is another dry verse, okay? There's no water here either. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 3, it says, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Think about this, folks. When you got saved, you took part, as is pictured in the waters, in the death, the burial, and because of that, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because you're in Christ. You've been placed in Christ. So there's the process. Let me give you the third point here, and that's the picture. There are a couple pictures in Scripture that help us with this. One is in Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Flip back over there. Keep those fingers limbered up, folks. We'll move along. Ephesians chapter 5. And if you know your chapter content, this passage talks about be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. And then he goes on and he said, look, if you're filled with the Spirit, husbands, you're going to treat your wives a certain way, and wives are going to treat their wives a certain way. And he goes right in the middle of this passage in verse 30. Look at it. He says, for we are members. Let me back up one. I'll go back to verse 28. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh. Okay? All right? And if you don't hate your own flesh, he said, but you nourish and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. Listen, for we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother, shall be joined unto his wife. These two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery. And I say, hallelujah. Boy, you're right about that. This is something that God is revealing, but he said, I speak concerning Christ and the church. And here's the picture. Did you realize that your marriage is a picture of the unity of the believer with Christ? When you got married and you consummated that marriage, God said, two become one. By the way, this is rabbit trail here for a moment. That's why divorce is so difficult. Because you've got two that become one, and in divorce, what are you doing? You're tearing them back apart. And he said, just as two in marriage become one in salvation, when you get saved, you become part Christ. You are placed in Christ. that clear it up for you? Got it? Okay. Now, I'm just honest with you. This is an amazing concept, and I don't think we'll truly understand it till we get to heaven. But there are a couple pictures that help us. Let me give you another picture, and that is the body of Christ. Now, I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time here. If you were here Wednesday night, Pastor talked about this very thing. But your body has many members, doesn't it? Lots of different parts. There is a body of Christ. Okay? When you got saved, you were placed in the body of Christ. We're all part, by the way. Scott, are you a believer? I'm glad you said yes. If not, I would have had real trouble here. Scott, he's a believer. You know what? We're part of the same. We're part of the same body. We're both part of Christ. We've both been placed in Christ. We are unified in this process. And these great pictures of the body. Now, obviously, Christ is the head of the church, but the church has many members, but one body. Now, that was my feeble explanation of being in Christ, okay? And I don't think we'll totally understand this till we get to heaven. But I want to give you five things that are the effects of being in Christ, and these are great, okay? The truth is, whether we understand it or not, when we got saved, we were placed in Christ. All right, so let's look at the effects. There are five. They all start with S. It's so exciting. Number one. Three of these you heard this morning, okay? Number one, as you might guess, is salvation. And really, the thought might be better to be security. Because Romans 8:1 says what? If any man be in Christ, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ. Jesus, I gave you the wrong verse. No wonder you didn't know it. If you're in Christ, guess what? No condemnation. Why? Because Christ cannot be condemned. And you're in him. So you can't be condemned. The moment you got saved, hallelujah, no condemnation. No condemnation. Why? Because Christ already paid for your sin. And you're in Christ. It's all been paid for. If he can't be condemned, guess what? Neither can you, because you're in Christ. How you doing so far? This means I'm doing okay. This means I don't have a clue what you're talking about. Okay? In Christ. So what a great thought. Now turn to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. This is great. I remember when I taught New Testament in our little Bible college we had, or Bible school we had, and I remember these verses. They're great. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 9. And it says, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead body. Now, who is him in this verse? Jesus Christ. Look, for in Jesus Christ, in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead body. What does that mean? Jesus Christ is God. Okay? He's completely God. But look at verse 10. And ye are complete in him. Hey, when you got saved and you were placed in Christ, what else do you need to get to heaven? It's complete. It's done. It is finished. Look, if you are in Christ, the work is done. Jesus Christ said on the cross, it is finished. We don't have to add anything. It's done. It's complete. You are complete. What an amazing thought. Because, see, every religion today, what do they want to do? They want to add something to Christ. Many of them, believe in Christ. We were visiting a lady and her husband on Thursday night, and she was from Brazil and was raised in the Catholic Church, but never really accepted the Catholic Church and the saints and all that stuff. But what does the Catholic Church do? Well, here's Christ, but is Christ enough? Mm-mm. You got to have Holy Communion. You got to have the baptism. You got to have the last rites. You got to pray to Mary. You got to do all these other things. I was raised in southern Idaho, Some of you know where Idaho is. It is one of the states. It is. And we were 60% Mormon. It was funny. When we went there, my dad pastored Grace Baptist Church. We were downtown. There was a big park right there downtown, a band shell, and it was kind of a neat place. And then right across Kitty Quarter was the Mormon church. And we'd go out after church on Wednesday nights or something and throw water balloons to the Mormons, and they'd throw balloons. We had a great time. It was exciting. And we moved our church out in the kind of on the edge of town, and guess what? They built a big, huge, multi-million building right across the street. But you know what the deal about the Mormon church is? Oh, they believe in Christ. But you've got to do this, and you've got to do that. Now, they say you can't drink coffee. Now, to be honest with you, that's no problem. I could meet that one. But you got to add this and add this and add this. See, when you are in Christ, folks, you are complete. That's all you need. You don't need another filling of the Holy Ghost. You don't need to do this or do that. You are complete in Christ. So look at verse 13. You're still in Colossians chapter 2. In verse 13, and he says, "And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened," he's made alive, "together with him," look, "having forgiven you all trespasses." What do sinners need? We need forgiveness. We need forgiveness. And you know what? When you got placed in Christ, guess what happened? All forgiven. Every sin, past, present, future, all forgiven. You are forgiven. You are complete. And oh, there's one more. Back in Colossians 1:28. Just flip back a page. And he says in Colossians 1:28, "Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man," what's the next word? Perfect. Here's a thought. When you got saved and you were placed in Christ, guess what? In God's eyes, you are now perfect. Now that's an amazing thought, because we know ourselves pretty well, don't we? But when God looks at us, what an amazing thought, because Jesus Christ took our sin and we received his righteousness and we're robed in the righteousness of Christ. And when God looks at me through the blood, guess what he sees? You don't see this, hallelujah, but he does. Perfection. Perfection. And I love what I read it's been months ago now, but God treated Christ as if he had lived our life so he could treat us as if we lived his. You get that? God treated Christ as if he had committed all my sins so that I could receive the righteousness and perfection of Christ. And when the devil comes to me and says, "Seaman, you are so wicked. How could you think that? How could you say that? How could you do that?" You know my response? Hey, buddy, get off my back. I'm in Christ. And in Christ, I am perfect. I am complete. I am forgiven. And hallelujah. Here's another great one. You're still in Colossians. Turn over to chapter 3. Just the first couple words. First phrase there. We're going to cover the rest of it in a minute. And he says, "If ye then, or since, ye be risen with Christ." You know what? Because I'm in Christ, you know what's going to happen when I die? I'm going to heaven. Why? Because I'm in Christ. I am risen. I have been buried with Christ. I died with Christ. I'm going to be raised. It is a certainty. It's going to happen. If you're in Christ, hallelujah, you're going to go to heaven. And in 1 Thessalonians 4:16, it says, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead," listen to this. Now, you wouldn't think this would be true. They're dead. But guess what? If you were in Christ when you died, what's true after you died? You're still in Christ. "And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the Lord." Why? because you're in Christ. In fact, this is so certain. Listen, hold on to your seatbelt, okay? Listen to this. Ephesians 2, 5 and 6. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, for by grace are ye saved. Listen. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You know when that is? When are you seated together with Christ in the heavenlies? Careful. When is it? Right now. Where is Christ? Seated at the right hand of God. Guess what? As a believer, you're in Christ. And your eternity in heaven is so certain. Spiritually, we're already seated in the heavenlies. Isn't that amazing? Wow. I hope you're getting a glimpse of this. Salvation. Let me move on very quickly. Second thing. And again, I know you heard this morning, but repetition aids learning. Secondly, sanctification. What is sanctification? Well, it's holiness, coming apart from sin. Listen, 2 Corinthians 5:17. You know this verse. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are becoming new. Look, when you get in Christ, everything changes. Your desires change. Your loves change. What you don't want to do changes. What you do want to do changes. You say, well, Gary, I got saved. It didn't change my desires. Well, I wonder if you really got saved. Because see, if you're in Christ, you're a new creature. We have people say, oh, I got saved as a kid, and I'm smoking, and I'm drinking, and I'm running around on women, and I'm just happy, and it's great, and I don't need to go to church. And I think you missed it somewhere. There's really no sign of a new creature here. Hey, hallelujah for salvation when you're in Christ. But hey, when you're in Christ, you're different. Before, you were in Adam. Now you're in Christ. You're in Christ. And oh, everything changes when we get in Christ, and there should be change in our life. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 15. 1 Corinthians 6. By the way, Thursday morning, or maybe afternoon, I'd been studying. I came home, my wife, I said, I think I should preach a series. And you're getting a series tonight. We're going to pack it all in there and try to get it to you tonight. This is our one shot at it. But these are just great truths, and we're just going to try to cram them all into one message. You got it? All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I may have said second, but I meant first. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 15. It says, know that you not that your bodies are the members of Christ. What's he talking about? That's what he's talking about. Okay? He said, don't you know that? He said, shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of an harlot? See, we're members of Christ. We can't, as members of Christ, we can't do that. We're members of Christ. If Christ wouldn't do it, because it's sinful, we shouldn't do it either. And he said, I'm a member of Christ. He said, I can't make myself part of a harlot. He says in verse 16, what, know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? That's the same marriage principle we're talking about. For two saith he shall be one flesh, but he that is joined in the Lord is one spirit. And therefore, since you are joined to Christ, what should you do? Flee fornication. Flee it. And he goes on, he says, hey, don't you know your body's the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God? You're not your own. Look, folks, when you got saved, you were united with Christ. I was united with Christ. How can we do those things? We're part of Christ. Sanctification. Let me give you the third one. And we're going to hit new ground from this morning, all right? Number three is service. We quoted Ephesians 2:10 earlier. Remember that? For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Do you realize when God placed you in the body of Christ, And again, I know pastor preaching this Sunday night or Wednesday night, but when you're placed in the body of Christ, you're placed there for a reason, with a purpose. In fact, did you know, I used to have a roommate, Juan Marino. He was part Puerto Rican and part Mexican. He pastors a big church up north now. And he would always quote this verse, or this passage, and this is in the passage. But in that passage, he used to quote all the time, "For I am fearfully and wonderfully made." And he'd go around, and I thought, well, yeah, I don't know about you, but I have to wonder. But think about this. When God made us, even before time, God had a specific plan for your life. In fact, in Psalm 139:16, it says, "Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being imperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them." Think about this. God had a specific plan for your life, and he made you to fit the plan. And he placed you in the body of Christ to use your talents and abilities that he gave you for the work of God. If you're here tonight and you say, "Gary, I've been born again." Okay, you've been placed in the body of Christ. What are you doing in the body? "Well, I'm here to have fun and make money and buy all I can and keep all I can, and then when I die, I'll give it all to my kids." You know? No, you're in the body of Christ. You're part of Christ. And he placed you there to serve him. He did. Not only salvation and sanctification, folks, but we ought to be serving him. And I didn't give you all of that Colossians 3 passage, but it said, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of the throne of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. For you're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God." Now, I can't imagine that, can you? Our life is hid with Christ in God. Wow, what a concept. And he said, "Look, you are seated in the heavenlies because you're in Christ. So live like it. Seek the things which are above." We're citizens of heaven. Boy, we don't live it like it, do we? We live like the here and now is all we got. He said, "Look, you're in Christ. God has given you, you're his workmanship. You need to get busy serving the Lord." So salvation, sanctification, service. Here's a new one. Here it is, number 4. Solidarity. Isn't that a great word? It's the only S I could come up with. Solidarity. Hey, this is a great truth, though. Romans 12:5. "So we being many are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another." Now, unless there is something seriously wrong with you, you have never set out to hurt yourself. Now, growing up, I was accident prone. If it could be broken, I broke it. If it could be knocked out, I knocked it out. I've knocked out my teeth, I've broken my wrists, and I've destroyed my knee jumping out of a truck and getting gravel. I don't know why I lost all my hair. It wasn't that. But I didn't land on my head or anything. But you know what? In all of that stuff, I never once said, "You know what? I'd really like to hurt myself. I need some pain in my life." Now, there may be some like that out here. I don't know. I hope not. If you are, they have padded rooms and special coats that you wear that tie in the back for those kind of people. I've never wanted to do that. And you know what? If you're saved, you know, we're in the same body. And we should never want to hurt anybody in the body. And you know, the simple matter of fact is, when you hurt the body, you're hurting yourself. Have you ever taken a hammer and hit the wrong nail? Have you ever done that? Ah. And when you do that, it's not just your thumb that's hurting, is it? It travels up your arm, and it comes in here, and it goes up to your head, and then it goes to your mouth, and you say, ah, right? I mean, it's just a little thumbnail. I mean, how bad can that be? I tell you, an exciting one is when you're putting screws. Buddy, I bet you've done this before. You're using a portable drill, and you're putting screws in flooring or something, and you've got your finger down there, and you're pressing down on that thing, and it goes over, and the drill goes right in your hand. How many have done that before? Oh, that makes me feel better. Good. Doesn't that hurt? And when you hurt part of the body, it affects the whole body. And folks, when we as believers, if I hurt you, I've hurt the body. And that affects me. I tell you what, folks, it would change the churches of America today if we would all realize that every believer is part of the same body, that we're in Christ. And if Mark Larkey's in Christ and I'm in Christ, I'm not going to hurt Mark Larkey. If I realize that Rick Hall is in the body of Christ and I'm in the body of Christ, I'm not going to be out to hurt Rick Hall. Because if I hurt Rick Hall, I hurt the body, which I'm part of. And if I'm part of the body, I'm not going to hurt Bob Daniels because Bob Daniels is part of the body. And we're one, and I don't want to hurt somebody that's part of the body. And when we do things we should not do, it affects the whole body. And it's interesting. The prayer of the Pharisee was this. Every night when he would go to bed, the Pharisee would say, I thank God that you've not made me a Gentile, a slave, or a woman. Isn't that a great prayer? That was the Pharisee's prayer. But I want to tell you what another Pharisee said in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 28. Now, he was a converted Pharisee. And he said, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. Wow. The next time, and as my class knows, I love Facebook. But the next time you're tempted to get on Facebook and say something about another believer, wait a minute, they're part of the body. The next time you're tempted to send that text, and I'm not real big on texting either. You know, I can text something to David here, And he can't tell from a text if I'm joking or I'm serious. And I'm always joking because I would never hurt David's feelings. But he can say, well, look what Seaman wrote me. And not only did, and you can't deny it because it's right there, you know. You're pretty much hung out to dry, aren't you? Boy, believer, how it would change Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church if we just stopped and said, wait a minute. Old Bennett, he's part of the body of Christ. I better not say that about him. Because we're part of the same body. Okay? So, salvation, sanctification, service, solidarity. I told you there were five. Guess what? I know you're excited. This is number five. This is kind of the capstone. 2 Corinthians 2:14. Now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ. Triumph in Christ. Do you realize, finally, you can have spiritual victory? I had to cheat a little bit there to get the S, but spiritual victory in Christ. How many times did Christ sin? How many times did Satan defeat Christ? How many times was Christ unable to heal those he wanted to heal? How many times did Christ lose? Now, it looked like he was going to lose on the cross. Boy, the devil got a surprise there, didn't he? After 3 days. Now, I want to remind you that you are in Christ. And in Christ, we have access to all power, all wisdom, and we can have spiritual victory in Christ. You ever been tempted and you just come to the conclusion that, well, you know what, I'm weak and I just can't help it, so I just might as well do it. Get it over with. You know, the devil's tempting me to do it. I'm just gonna put it on Facebook anyway, because I just can't help myself, right? That's a lie from the devil. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. And believer, you're in Christ. You don't have to sin. You don't have to. I don't have to. We do because we choose to. We don't have to. We can have spiritual victory because we're in Christ. And final verse, Ephesians 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. My lands, folks, we are. If you're a believer here today, boy, I hope you get the idea. You are in Christ. In my lands, because of that, you can be secure in your salvation. You have died with Christ. You've been buried with Christ. You have been raised with Christ. You're seated in the heavenlies with Christ. I mean, you're going to go to heaven. Hallelujah. Because of that, we ought to be sanctified. We're in Christ. We can't make Christ part of that. We can't make Christ watch that. And then, oh, how we ought to serve Christ. Seek those things that are above. Because we're in Christ. And because of that, my, what a unity we ought to have in the body. We ought to have unity. And then finally, there's spiritual victory. Because you're in Christ. You're not on your own. You're not serving on your own. You've been united with Christ. And you can have spiritual victory. I wonder tonight what your need is. I hope you've been encouraged. And when the devil attacks you in any of these areas, remind him, wait a minute, by faith, I've been placed in Christ. I'm secure. I'm not going to do that. No, I'm in Christ. Oh, I'm going to serve him because I'm in Christ. And I'm not going to hurt other believers who are in the body. And I can have spiritual victory because I'm in Christ. I don't know where you are tonight. I don't know what you need. My prayer is that God will encourage your heart as he did mine. As he did mine. And just drive home the great truth that when you got saved, man, you were placed in Christ. And boy, there's a bunch of ramifications, a bunch of effects of that that are exciting for the believer. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you for this great truth. And oh, I know that in my finiteness, I've been unable to totally describe what it means to be in Christ. But your word teaches it. We know it's true. And Lord, I don't know the hearts of the believers here tonight. There may be someone who's not a child of God who needs to be born again, who needs to be in Christ. And I pray that tonight, by faith, they would come and be born into the body of Christ. I assume most, if not all, are believers here tonight. And God, I pray that you would just take this thought of being in Christ and uplift their heart, encourage their soul. Help them, Lord, to have victory in their life, we pray. I wonder tonight, as we're gathered here, if there might be one, and you would say, Gary, I'll be honest with you, I'm not sure I'm in Christ. I'm not sure that I've been born into the body of Christ. And boy, I'd like to do that tonight. I need to get that settled once and for all. I need to, by faith, be placed in the body of Christ. Is there one like that tonight? Say, I'm just not sure I'm even in the body of Christ. Not sure I'm born again. I need that. Is there one? I assume by that response, that everyone here tonight is in the body of Christ. I wonder tonight, have you been struggling with your assurance, your security in Christ? Has the devil lured you into things you should not be doing? Really not sure how to end our time tonight. I'm just going to open the altar. If God has spoken to your heart about a specific matter, maybe you just need to come and thank the Lord that when you trusted Christ, He placed you in the body. Maybe you've been struggling with sin. Maybe tonight you just need to get with the Lord and thank Him that you're complete in Christ. I don't know what the need is tonight. Why don't we play a Thank You, Lord, for Saving My Soul, just the chorus. I think it's 343 there in the hymnal. Let's all stand together. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. And if you need to come, I'm just going to let the Holy Spirit take this. If you need to come, you come on as they play. Have you obeyed the Lord? That's all we want you to do here at the church, just obey the Lord. As they're playing, if you need to come, you come on. If you need help, you let us know. We'll be glad to pray with you and give you help. They'll play one more time. The altar's open for you tonight. Let's sing that chorus and we'll go. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord. What did He do? He made us whole. Be whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me Thy great salvation so you. You are dismissed. Be praying for the pastor this week. He'll go through Wednesday night. They'll be traveling back Thursday and Friday. And let's live for the Lord this week. Lord bless you. You are dismissed.